Community Matters is kindly sponsored by Connemara Credit Union Limited, incorporating Clifton, Tullycross, Cashel and Carna branches. Connemara Credit Union is here to serve the people of the Connemara area. Main office, Clifton, 095-211-01. Tullycross branch, 095-439-73. Cashel branch, 095-311-28.
You're very welcome to Community Matters this Tuesday evening. An interesting lineup tonight. Firstly, we hope to talk to Donica Foley, Development Manager with Volunteer Galway, and he'll be talking to us about the deadline for retrospective Garda vetting for community groups, which is, I believe, the 30th of this month, but he will be telling us all about that. And Mike Lohr will be coming into the studio, Associate Professor of Sociology with the Aquinas College, and he's going to be just telling us about the Aquinas College trip to Tullycross this year and how it has gone. Then we'll be talking to Dermot O'Donovan here in GMIT in Letterfrack about the new courses in GMIT and the Design West Summer School. And last but most certainly not least, we will have Joe Burke, Fundraising Manager of Pieta House, talking about the work the Pieta House do ahead of the Darkness into Light walk, which will be on the 12th of May. But before all that, we're going to go with a piece of music.
bound by a ball and chain. It started up in Fife, it ended up in tears. But I sent her my love, the bang on the ear. Crystal was a rover from Canada, she hailed. We crossed swords in San Francisco, we both lived to tell the tale. I don't know now where she is, oh, but if I had her here, I'd give her my love and a bang on the ear.
Oh yes, the Waterboys there and a bang on the ear. Yes, the Waterboys always puts me in a good humour. Okay, now with me on the phone, I have Donica Foley, a development manager with Volunteer Galway. Donica, you're very welcome to Connemara Community Radio.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks for having me.
And you have very kindly agreed to come on and talk to us a little bit about Garda vetting.
Yes, that's right. One of the reasons we're interested in talking about it is because organisations have up until the end of this month to start vetting any volunteers or any staff that are with them that are working with children or vulnerable people. So we can provide a service for that. So that's why we're just letting people know that we're available if they need our assistance.
So when did vetting become mandatory, or is it? I presume it is mandatory for people that are becoming employed now. But when was the legislation introduced which required Garda vetting?
The legislation was introduced, it's 2 years ago now, actually, and they're giving people 2 years just to get everything in order. So people have had 2 years just to sign up to use vetting service with our South Volunteer Galway, and also just to get any people who are on the books just to get them processed. And it's for work with children or vulnerable adults, and it's a particular type of work with children and vulnerable adults as well. So it's not every volunteer needs to be vetted, but it's important to vet the people who do need to be vetted.
Do you think it's going to extend in time to all employees?
That's a good question. I would doubt it. I think that would just be a step too far from, I suppose, the state would need to show a very valid reason for doing that. At the moment, what we do is just purely around for people who are working and volunteering with children or vulnerable adults. Just by the legislation, the child is anybody under 18, and a vulnerable adult then is somebody who, I suppose, is incapacitated to a degree that they need somebody to maybe provide personal care or to provide other assistance.
So nurses and teachers, definitely.
Yes, yeah, one of the challenges with the legislation is it doesn't specifically define when you need to vet somebody, I suppose, because there would be a list as long as your arm, but they give general guidelines and language around it that helps organisations to decide who they should vet.
Donica, we're having a few problems with the line. I don't know, are you in an area of poor reception, perhaps?
It looks, I just move a little bit now, sorry.
Okay, that's great. Thanks so much. How are you doing?
Is that any better?
That sounds good to me now. That sounds great. So April 30th is the cut-off date. And just out of curiosity, is it the responsibility then of the employee or the employer?
It's a very good question. It's the responsibility of the employer to vet the person that's either volunteering with them or is being employed by them. So it's the organisation that looks after it, and from a point of view of our own service, it's the organisation that we deal with. We don't vet people individually, we vet them on behalf of an organisation.
And what then does the process entail when somebody sets about getting Garda vetted?
It's straightforward. I know in the past there's been a delay sometimes of up to 6 months in vetting somebody. at this stage, it can end, be as short as a week. The first thing people do is the organization needs to get the forms of ID for the person and get them to fill out a short form. And then we get that and we put it up on the e-vetting system. All the vetting is online now at this stage.
Right.
And once that's done, then the person is invited onto the e-vetting system to fill out the rest of their details. And it's processed, and it's quite quick.
And what about people who have worked abroad?
From the point of view of the vetting legislation, it only covers time spent in Ireland. So if you've been working abroad, you may need to go to other police services, say in the States or Canada or the UK, to get, it's called different things, but it's usually called police clearance.
Okay. Well, I know I had to get Garda vetting from New Zealand, and it was quite dramatic because you had to apply for your criminal conviction certificate or something. And you basically had to prove that you didn't have a criminal conviction. So it was funny, but that's what they called it, or something equally sinister. But
The term here is called a disclosure report.
Right.
But for the vast majority of people, the disclosure is that there's nothing there.
Oh, okay.
So
it's kind of along the same lines, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes people, when they hear that there's a disclosure report, they would think that, oh God, there was something on my record that I wasn't aware of, but it usually just says that the phrase that's used is nil.
Oh, yeah, well, that was it. I was looking for my criminal conviction once, which was pretty dramatic as well. But thankfully that was clear too. I didn't commit any crimes that I didn't know about. So people who are listening, employers that are listening now, and that date is looming, and what should they do?
I should just say as well that we provide the service specifically for community organisations and charities. So if anybody has any queries anywhere, they can contact Volunteer Galway, they can contact myself. My name is Donica, and my phone number is 091-393-260, or my email address is donnca@volunteergalway.ie.
Well, that's great, and I can give that out again at the end of the programme. But just to remind people as well, anybody who likes to put things on the long finger or procrastinate or whatever, there are quite serious punishments in place, aren't there, for those that haven't got Garda clearance by April 30th?
Yeah, if you don't have it done by April 30th, this was the potential to be fined. I mean, there's fines, large fines, and there's even, I suppose, at the end of the day, there's potential prison sentences as well. It totally shows that the state is taking its responsibility seriously when it comes to protection of children and vulnerable adults. But once you're engaged in the process, and you can show that you've been engaged in the process, there shouldn't be any issue. I wouldn't see anything like that happening. The main thing is just if you need to get it done, it's just to get started on it.
Well, it can save lives for sure, can't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, we all want to know that that our loved ones are protected, children and vulnerable people. So do you want to just give out your contact details again there, Donica? I know the line is bad, but...
It's still bad. Okay, I'll give another go.
Don't worry. We'll just get your contact details anyway for anybody who'd like to contact. It's 091-393-260, isn't that right?
That's it.
Okay.
And that's direct to myself. So if you want to leave a message, just mention it's about Garda vetting. I'll contact you back directly.
Okay. And like that again, the website is donica@volunteergalway.ie, and Donica is spelled D-O-N-N-C-H-A. Brilliant. Well, Donica, we're very grateful to you for taking the time to come on and talk to us about that today, and so everybody can get cracking now and make sure they're sorted, because it is only it's 6 days' time, isn't it?
6 days' time, yeah. Too far away.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Donica, thanks so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
We'd just like to apologise about the line there. It was quite static, but nonetheless he had an important message. And just to remind people that that vetting has to be completed by April the 30th, and there are penalties which can include fines of up to 10,000 and up to 5 years in prison. So that's worth bearing in mind. So contact Donica on 091 393 260, or Donica at volunteergalway.ie. That's D-O-N-N-C-H-A, Donica at volunteergalway.ie. Now we're going to go with the ads.
Here's your entertainment guide on Connemara Community Radio. There's music at the Connemara Sands Hotel on Saturday the 28th of April with Matt Cain and Colm Nocton. There's music at Johnny O'Loughlin's Bar Cashel on Saturday the 28th of April with Sporting Paddy. Check out cliftonstationhouse.com/theatre for a full list of their movies and events. The award-winning Connemara Mussel Festival is on in Rinvale this May Bank Holiday weekend. There will be cooking demonstrations and competitions, guided walks and children's activities, with music every night and much more. Come to Rinvale and celebrate the brilliant blend of community, food and culture of the Wild Atlantic Way. See all the details on ConnemaraMusselFestival.com.
This week at Kavanagh's Super Value Clifton, we have lots of great deals across the store, helping you fill your trolley with value you really want. Our ever popular 2 for €1, 2 for €2 and 2 for €5 offers in our fruit and veg section are on. We also have great deals in our meat department, including the 3 for €10 offer. Stock up for less on everyday essentials with our Super Value range, and don't forget to swipe your rewards card every time you shop to help you earn those money back vouchers.
Visit Kylemore Abbey and Gardens for a wonderful day out for all the family. Visit the Abbey, Gothic Church, and of course our beautiful Victorian walled garden. Enjoy lunch in Mitchell's Cafe or tea and cake in the Garden Tea House. Why not attend one of our history talks, which take place 3 times a day in the Abbey? Or check out our calendar of choirs and performances in the Gothic Church. Our craft and design shop is filled with beautiful new stock, and there's always something new to find. Visit our website www.kylemoreabbey.com for more information.
With all the pressures of modern-day life, many of us don't have the necessary time to shop around for our electrical appliances. By calling into Peter Murphy Lighting and Electrical Westside Shopping Centre Galway or visiting petermurphyelectrical.ie, you can choose from a range of top-quality electrical appliances and have them delivered directly to your home, saving you time and money. When ordering online, type Connemara into the coupon field to avail of free delivery in Connemara. PeterMurphyElectrical.ie is simple, inexpensive and fast. Shouldn't everything in life be like this? Job Spots on Connemara Community Radio.
Person wanted for office duties in Renville Beach Caravan Park to cover the summer season from June till the end of August. For more information, contact 087 435 5676.
Job Spots on Connemara Community Radio.
And you're welcome back to Community Matters. And now in the studio with me, I have Mike Lohr. And Mike is professor with the Aquinas College in Michigan. But he has another few titles, as far as I know. Pat here on the desk was calling him the Lord Mayor of Tully Cross. But you'll settle for Lord Mayor, will you?
Sure, yeah.
So before we get started, I wonder, could you tell us, first of all, a little bit about Aquinas College itself?
Mm-hmm. So it is in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It has about 2,000 students as the population. And then, let's see, it's near the Great Lakes in the States. It's in the Midwest. The college has a relationship, 45-year long relationship with Tully Cross and Connemara West. And so this is the 45th year that we've been coming and bringing students to Tully Cross.
And how did that connection begin?
So there's two stories.
Okay.
So one of them is that, I don't know me, one of them is that back when, what in the 60s, when our students were hippies, they actually got kicked out of another town.
Okay.
And so they had to find another. So that's the story that probably people don't want to know about.
Okay.
But then the more idyllic story is that the sisters who founded our college, they were driving around and they driving around Ireland, and they drove over the hills into Tully Cross, and the clouds parted, the sun shined through, there was a rainbow, and there were the cottages there. And they were like, this is where we have to be.
Oh, I like that version. So, yeah. I love that version. So in that case, so that drive, that must have been back in the 70s then.
Yes. Yeah, I think that it was right around 1974, 75, something, somewhere around then.
Wow. So these, and I don't know when the cottages were actually built, but I don't suppose they'd have been too long in existence at that stage.
Yeah, that was, so those cottages were originally built for just like summer holidays, and then the sisters and Connemara West were like, hey, this would be a good way to have more use out of the cottages and also reinvigorate the community, inject a group of students into the community every year. And there's just a lot of benefits to that. So
that first group of students then that came, the pioneers, what would their experience have been like, do you know?
I don't know too much about that.
Yeah. But obviously it's developed a lot over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I know last year as well, you launched a study abroad program. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So the college itself has it's called the Aquinas Advantage Center now.
Mm-hmm.
And they are running multiple programs to different countries
now.
And so that program has been, is relatively new. And then for the study abroad program in Tully Cross, what we're up to is, the students take a class with the professor, with me, and whoever my counterpart is next year. We teach a special topics in our discipline.
Okay.
So mine is Ireland, sustainable development and social justice. I'm a sociologist by training.
Okay.
And I took the students to the Eco Village in Clock Jordan.
Oh, lovely.
And so they learn a lot about that. And then we have three professors from NUIG.
Okay.
Who come in. One of them Rita. Rita comes and talks and teaches about folklore in Ireland in the mornings on Wednesdays.
And God, I'd love to do that myself.
Yeah, and the students say that this is also like funny stuff. The students kind of say like, "Oh, there's a lot of death."
yeah,
in their folklore, get a lot about like fairies and banshees and all that good fun stuff. But they definitely are like, oh, this is dark.
Yeah, there is a dark element, yeah. I always feel, to Irish mythology for sure. And how many students then would come over each year?
So this year was a little lighter. There was 15, but there's usually around 20.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, The demographics are just bad in the Midwest right now. It's,
yeah.
You know, the baby boomers, they've, all of their kids have gone to college, and there isn't that next wave of kids coming through yet.
But at that rate, so obviously a lot of hundreds must have come over the years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, seeing as it's been in existence for so long.
Definitely. There's people in the community who either there have been weddings that have grown out of this.
So I believe,
Even on the sort of the lesser scale, if you go to Grand Rapids, you'll come across people who have named their dogs after the village, other kind of Ireland-related.
So there's names. 15 students over this year, and how long then are they over for? It's normally 4 months, isn't it?
Yep. So we got here in January, and we leave on April 30th. The other classes that the students take, they're the other two professors from Galway. They do a history of Ireland and sort of the political landscape of Ireland. So there's a sociologist and a political scientist who teach about those different aspects, and they kind of bring it more contemporary, whereas Rita does some of the stuff that's a little more sort of like prehistory almost in ways.
So the students that come over, are they studying then for like a BA or an MA or?
Yeah, bachelor's degree. The neat thing is that the college just started an Irish Studies minor, which is one of the few or one of the only minors like that. And by taking the classes here and then taking, I think, one or two more in the States, they have this particular certification done. The other classes that they take here, they have an internship program that definitely Pat's familiar with a couple of the interns. They intern here at the radio. They also intern with a whole host of other groups that are here that are networked with Connemara West. So
by the time they go back, they're practically local.
Pretty much, yeah. And I'm actually, since this is my first time doing the study abroad part of this program, I'm interested to see. I've been told that the students, you always have to, like at 6:30 in the morning on that Monday, you've got to like force a couple of students onto the bus. And so I'm like, oh, how's that going to look, you know? They miss their new home.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh no, that's lovely. And are they allowed to come back in other years, or is it just a once-off part of their course?
Yeah, it's a once-off.
Okay.
But having said that, there are, so at home I direct, so I'm in the sociology department, and I'm also director of this program called Community Leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my community leadership students who was here last year, Carly Curtis, and I can't remember where she interned at, but she is actually going to NUIG next year for a master's in, I think it's called like public advocacy and activism.
Okay.
And then also, Lindsay Bassigal, who was here maybe 2 or 3 years ago, she's actually at NUIG right now, earning a master's as well. So even though they don't necessarily directly return with the program, there are a group of students who come back and take classes, pursue another degree, a graduate degree at Galway. And I'd be remiss to leave out my awesome assistant director, Michelle Plumstead. She was a student 5 or 6 years ago, and then she came back last year as an assistant director, and now she's with me for a third time as an assistant director. And so there's definitely some of that going on. Students also, there's a, let's see, the Interchanges conference that Kevin Hainu and Connemara West help organize. Students last year, I think that was the first year that some of our students came back with some professors in the summer and presented on research that they had that was related to some of the work they did in Ireland and some of the work they've done with their major. The one particular presentation I remember is that this one student was a geographer, and the other student was really into the folklore. And so they gave this interesting presentation about how the different geological formations had geological explanations, but they also had folklore explanations. So there's a, I think it's called the Devil's, it's a part of a mountain where it's right by Ross Row.
Okay.
There's like chains that the devil was trying to like, I don't know, capture someone with. And so they gave that folklore explanation. And then the other student gave the geological, like, this is why this actually happened based on science.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's fantastic. Yeah. And, of course, the influx of American students is obviously a great benefit to the local economy as well. But I do remember when I was young thinking the American students were the coolest ever, because when we were in national school, they'd come into us each year as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when they were there, it was constant playtime when we were let out into the, it was just fantastic. Mm-hmm. And they'd be showing us how to play rounders and American football and all this. It was absolutely mm-hmm. great. We used to great crack with them. So there's long connections and great memories been made. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah. So we have 15 students here right now. One of them is at, Eagles Nest School, National mm-hmm. School. And so, his name's Mike Priest. And he was teaching, he's a baseball player at home, yeah. And so he was teaching the students baseball.
Yeah.
And then they'll definitely, so the Thanks from the Yanks party is on Friday at Anglers. And right before the party part, there's a games part. And I know that he's inviting some of his students to come and, yeah, that's great. Great crack.
Yeah, no, it is. That's lovely to hear. Well, long may it continue. Are you already plotting the courses and everything for next year?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, Mike, we're very grateful to you for taking the time to come and talk to us today. Where are the students at the moment?
They're all writing papers and doing homework.
Are they? Because I believe they had a tough day out on Cleggan.
Yesterday we hiked Cleganhead. It was the last hike. So we also do a little tiny hiking class.
Yeah.
In addition to try and get them out, get them some exercise.
Oh, very good. In the fresh Connemara air.
Yes.
Mike, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us, and the best of luck, and the best of luck with the thanks for the Yanks party and the whole lot.
Thanks.
Thanks again to Mike Lohr, Professor of Aquinas College, for coming in and talking to us about the experience of the students in Tollycross. Tom Petty there from Full Moon Fever, and I won't back down. And now with me on the phone, I have Dermot O'Donovan, Head of Department for GMIT Letterfact. Dermot, you're very welcome to Connemara Community Radio.
Hi, Mary. It's great to be on. Thank you.
And by the sounds of it, you're fairly earning your money over there. You're not bored by the sounds of it. There seems to be a lot going on.
There's always a lot going on. Yeah, it's a busy little spot.
I tell you.
Yeah.
Well, first and foremost, can you tell us a little bit about Design West?
Sure. So we have a couple of I suppose, new programs that are starting up, some short programs and some more long-term ones. And the Design West program is an interesting model that we're trialing this year, I suppose. And we're working with, collaborating with an organization called Design West, and we're running a two-week summer school at the last week of June and the first week of July, and it's an international design summer school.
So this is a new innovation.
Yeah, this
okay.
is something we've never done before. Yeah, and it's utilising the campus in a way that differentiates it from full-time learners, certainly, and also promotes the campus as a centre of excellence for sort of on the international stage and in the area of research. So it's a master's level programme. And we've opened it up to an international audience, and as well as that, we have international guest lecturers. So we have people from Spain, Portugal, Ireland, and the United States coming to deliver the program with us.
So it's for 2 weeks, from June 23rd to July 6th.
Yeah, and so people who have applied to come on that, we're just going through our applications now. They've just closed, actually. It might have been extended for a week, actually. But they pay a fee to come on the course, which includes their accommodation, tuition, and some costs. But the idea is it's a lovely model because it is workshop-based in the morning, and then it's research by discovery, sort of looking at the landscape, looking at language, discovery-based research, walking the beaches, doing guided walks, looking, going out to the islands, going to local artisan producers during each afternoon. So there's an excursion every afternoon as part of the program. And then they bring their learning back and their research back, and they respond to three themes around sustainability, gastronomy, and language migration and landscape, which are the themes of Galway 2020. And then there's an exhibition at the end of it where they'll present their work, and it's sort of a lot of the experts we have are visual communication experts, graphic designers, so it will be quite graphic, sort of 2D, 3D graphics outputs. But there'll be an exhibition then open to the public at the end of the 2 weeks. And during it, we will hope to engage the community and local people through different talks and films that will take place as well during it. So, you know, there'll be a full schedule. We're just still in the thick of planning at the moment, but closer to the time, there'll be a full schedule released, and we'll be promoting what's available to sort of people to come and see what's going on as well. And hopefully it's just a way of promoting design in the area, promoting the area as a destination for learning, and really to use the landscape that's around us as an inspiration for design, which is great always.
And how many participants do you hope to have?
We hope to have about 20.
Okay.
20 students, and we'll have about, I guess there'll be 8 to 10 visiting tutors over the 2 weeks. And we're collaborating, obviously, with different organisations and groups as well. We're collaborating with Galway 2020, Galway County Council are supporting this, using the Year of Gastronomy, using the Galway 2020 vision and building towards, continue it on right into Galway 2020 to have a bigger and better design school at that stage and to embrace the whole sort of celebration of design for that year, you know.
Okay, and so the applications have already gone in for that.
Yeah, we have oversubscribed applications, which is the way we want it. We're just beginning to make offers on that program. I think the application date has been extended by 1 week, which I'm not sure what day we're on. Tuesday, I think it's open till Friday again. But so I think we have our cohort. It's all about trying to make it self-sufficient, you know, and trying to make sure that the experience is optimized. But yes, we run it to a budget. I mean, you know, we're always constrained by budget. So Yeah, we're big planning meeting now this week on developing the schedule, and it's all systems go for that at the moment. Yeah, so it's really great initiative. Yeah, we're delighted with it. Yeah.
Okay, so that's Design West. Now, what about YIP? I think that's great. YIP.
So YIP is right the other scale, which is brilliant because I mean that there we're talking about master's level research, and for this one we're doing so. And this I think this is where we begin to see a trickling of funding coming back into the economy, which is brilliant. So the Higher Education Authority released some funds, very small amount of funds now, to be honest, to incentivize third level institutions to develop entrepreneurship summer schools, and this is the second year this has run. It's the first year Letterfrack has applied for funding for it, and we were successful in funding call, and so we're running a program based around entrepreneurship, creativity, leadership, design and digital skills, and we've just launched this one today actually, and it's a week-long summer program, but it's for young adults, so it's for teenagers between sort of, I guess, fourth year and fifth year. It's senior cycle, but
so transition kind of
transition and fifth year. I mean, we'd be welcoming sixth years too, but it will be kind of, I guess, a lot of people will still be doing their exams. The dates for this are the 18th to the 22nd of June. So I expect leaving certs, probably most of them will still be in doing some exams. So it's probably more suited to fourth and fifth years.
Well, with respect to the poor owl 6 years, I think as soon as they finish their leaving cert, they won't want to be literally walking straight into another line of study.
I don't think so. No. I know this one, and while it's a study week in terms of their learning, it'll be very action sort of based. They'll be working in teams. So what we're doing is we're opening this up to applicants from the three schools sort of in the region, which from Curnamona down to Carna and Clifton. And those schools will be invited to, individuals will be invited to apply. And, I mean, the fantastic thing, it's free. So there's a full program of events for the week. You'll be coming in from 10 o'clock until 4 o'clock. You'll be working in teams of three, and you'll be coming up with a design product and making it using the digital technology in the college. So you'll be learning a little bit about maybe drawing through CAD, maybe a bit about digital manufacturing through 3D printers, the laser, CNC machine, and guided then by a lecturer and technician. But it's really nice that we're bringing some entrepreneurs into the college, local entrepreneurs, to talk to the group, tell them about what it's like to run a business, tell them what it's like to come up with a product, what do customers look for. And then we'll have a panel presentation at the end of the week where each group presents to a panel and tries to, I suppose, come up with the best product. So we'll be interacting with people like Kyle Moore Abbey, some people in Clifton. So Connemara Blue are coming on board as sort of the entrepreneur side, and they'll be coming in and sort of giving a little bit of guidance as well to the students. So it should be a really fun week. I mean, the idea is it's learning, but it's fun and it's active and great way to meet other people and to, I suppose, particularly see how a lot of these skills that the students are learning in school, how they might be applied to the production of a product or the design of a product in a real sort of semi-real world environment, you know.
So for anybody who's listening who would be interested in applying, or they might know somebody who they think might be interested in applying, how do they go about it?
So we're going out to the schools. Those three schools will get a visit from one of our staff over the next week, and posters have just gone out to those schools. So if they tie in with their careers guidance teacher, and they need to apply, and the application form, because it's free, what we want to be sure is that we get the right people onto the program, obviously. And they just need to fill out a very simple application form, which kind of gives an idea of why they would like and why they might feel this is a good program for them. But it's very short, and we'll be closing applications probably in about two weeks' time, I think, or 3 weeks' time. So it's a pretty simple process for them. But it's really about, again, as I said, it's more about knowing that this is something that you'd enjoy doing. It's, you know, no point in bringing people onto it unless they want to be on it themselves. But it'll run from 10 until 4 every day for the 5 days. And, you know, I think it'll be, it's a really great initiative for young people to, as I said, sort of see what the opportunities are, particularly people who are interested in design and creativity, business in school as well, you know.
Yeah, it sounds right. It sounds very interesting.
So they'll get a visit from one of our lecturers who'll go and talk to them about the program, give them a little bit more detail in the schools. So keep an eye out and have a chat with their careers guidance is probably the best advice for the moment.
So apart from Design West then and YEP, is there any other courses that we should know about?
The other things, I suppose, just to keep on the horizon for people will be, you know, our own students will be finishing up soon. So we'll be opening our exhibition on the 20th of June, and that'll open as normal for the summer. That's free for anyone who wants to come in and have a look. You know, there's a gallery there all through the year for anyone who wants to come in and see what the students get up to. There's a space there, but the main sort of exhibition opens on the 20th of June for the summer months, and that's open every day from Monday to Friday. And we're just launching this Friday. We're launching an initiative aimed at post-primary teachers. There's a part-time master's program that we're doing, and there's an information session on that in Galway this Friday. That's for anyone who's teaching in post-primary schools and wants to upskill to a master's in the areas of teaching and learning, pedagogy, things like that. So that's taking place this Friday at 7 o'clock in GMIT.
Well, we're certainly very grateful to you for coming on and telling us all about them, Dermot. Unfortunately, time is running away with me.
But
thank you
me.
So much, and I'm sure that'll be of great use to our listeners. Thanks very much, Dermot.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Take care. Okay, so that was Dermot O'Donovan there. We're going to go now with a piece of music, and when we come back, we'll be talking to Joe Burke from Pieta House.
Wretched life of a lonely heart.
and you're very welcome back. And with me now on the phone, I have Joe Burke, fundraising manager with Pieta House. Joe, you're very welcome to Connemara Community Radio.
Thanks very much. Delighted to be on.
Joe, I wonder, first of all, can you tell us a little bit about how Pieta House came to be?
Yeah, so Pieta House, we're 11 years old this year. And it started, it was founded by a lady called Joan Freeman in Lucan in County Dublin. Joan had her own issues with suicide. She lost her sister to suicide, and she was a therapist herself. And I suppose she felt a little bit lost at the time, and kind of came to the realization that if she was unaware of what was going on in somebody so close to her's life, you know, what chance did anybody else have? And she went about studying suicide and self-harm and how people came to be in that position. And she found that, I suppose, it came more often from reacting to a life event rather than the end of a long journey, which it can be as well. So she went about then setting up Pieta House, which was a non-referral, completely free service. And she set it up in Dublin. And from there, 11 years ago, it's grown now to have 15 centres right across the country.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, just
yeah.
From one lady's mission. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And when people go to Pieta House, then what type of services are there for them?
Yeah, so I suppose we provide a few different services around suicide and self-harm. Some of the main services we provide would be free counselling to anybody who is suffering from suicide ideation or maybe has attempted to take their own life. We also provide a service to people who are self-harming. And again, that's a one-to-one counselling service. And then another service that we provide is we provide bereavement counselling for families and friends of those bereaved by suicide. And also something that we're trying to heavily promote is our 24-hour helpline, which is 1850 24/7 24/7. And that helpline is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's manned by fully qualified therapists. So they're there at any time for anybody who is in any crisis at all. So we would hope, obviously, that people would take note of that number. And obviously, we would also hope that they wouldn't need to use it themselves, which you never know when they might be in a position where they might be able to help somebody by giving them that number and passing it on to them.
Absolutely. I don't think there's anybody really now that hasn't in some way been touched by a suicide.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or is aware of somebody that has gone through issues with self-harming. I mean, there's
Absolutely.
A lot of people in that situation.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it is, unfortunately, that is the stark reality, I suppose, that absolutely every town and village and community has been affected by suicide. And I suppose it's just to get that message out there that, you know, there is help and, you know, there is always hope for people, no matter how dark a day seems, that it is just a matter of picking up that phone. You know, I suppose I'm in the very privileged position to see the change that happens, you know, within Pieta when people do come to access our service, that they do just need to pick up the phone. And get in touch, and it is life changing, I suppose, for people.
And how many therapists are there? There must be quite a team to be able to keep it going 24/7.
Yeah, so the 24-hour helpline is manned by its own team of therapists, and they work round the clock. In Galway, we are lucky enough to have two centres. So we have a new centre, on Merchants Road in Galway City, and then we have the original Galway Centre, which was in Tuam. And in the Tuam Centre at the moment there are six therapists, and in Galway, as we've just opened in the last 2 weeks, and we have two therapists at the moment, and we're recruiting for more. So that that's Galway, and we have the capacity for more and to take more clients there as well.
And the darkness into light, I mean, that has really captured the public imagination. That must contribute quite a bit of funds, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Darkness into light, we're so lucky to have such an event, because as I said, all of our services are provided for free to people. So there's no charge on absolutely anything we do. So obviously there's a huge expense then falls behind that. And we're so lucky to have Darkness into Light to provide that for us. It keeps us going for about 6 months of the year. The 15 centres going. So it's fantastic really to have that public support. And as you said, it has really captured the imagination of people. I think the symbolism of a group and a community coming together and walking from literally a dark place into a light place, you know, together and supporting each other, that really helps people get through.
Well, I know I always seem to end up being on night duty, but this year I won't. But it has struck me the range. Like last year, my mother would have done it, and my daughter would have done it, and you know, each of them thoroughly enjoyed it, and they were very moved by it. And it's just the whole age range. Absolutely, everybody seems to come out.
Well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think it's so different and so unique. It's different to any other kind of event that people do, you know. Walks and runs are so popular now, and it's great, but I think Darkness into Light just has that real sense of community, and I think it is because of coming out in the middle of the night, and people have gone to that extra effort to get there. And this year we've had a couple of changes in that it's 100% online registration, so we're asking everybody to go on to dil.pieta.ie or darkness into light.ie and to register there. I'll be in Clifton myself actually this year for the first time. That's the only downfall we always say of Darkness into Light is that they're all on the same day, so you can't get to visit them all. So I've been in Galway for the last couple of years in Galway City, and I'm lucky enough now to be able to go to Clifton this year.
I've been out to the real one this year.
Exactly. See how it's really done.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I tell you, you won't be disappointed if last year is anything to go by, because there was a lovely, lovely atmosphere. Yeah, yeah. So just unfortunately, we're fast and furiously approaching 8 o'clock, but just to let people know again, that a number that you called out, 1850-247-247?
That's it, yeah, that's that 24-hour helpline.
That's the 24-hour helpline.
Yes, exactly, and that is for absolutely anybody who finds themselves in crisis, or maybe who needs to pass on that number as well. As I said, it's manned by a fully qualified therapist at all times.
Well, Joe, thank you very much for coming on and talking to us, and we'll see you in Clifton. So this year it's May 12th, isn't it?
May 12th, yeah, Friday night. Saturday morning, yeah.
That's great. Joe, thank you so much, and thank you for all the work you do.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. That's great, Joe. Thanks. Okay, that was Joe Burke there from Pieta House, coming on, talking to us about the work that they do in Pieta House. And just remind everybody again that the Darkness into Light walk is on the 12th of May, and you can go on to dil.pieta.ie to find out more and also to register online. Just also to thank Dunica Foley, Development Manager with Volunteer Galway, coming on talking to us about the deadline for retrospective Garda vetting for community groups, and to remind people that it's in 6 days' time. That's the 30th of April is the cut off by then, so all community groups should have their employees vetted by then. We also spoke to Mike Lohr, Associate Professor of Sociology from Aquinas College, and we wish them all the best of luck in their trip back to Michigan. And of course, they'll have that thanks for the Yanks from the Yanks party coming up before they go. So I'm sure that'll be a good night, and a good night will be had by all. Thanks also to Dermot O'Donovan from GMIT Letterfrack, who was talking to us about those courses. About YEP and about the design course also. And last but certainly not least, Joe Burke there, as you heard from Pieta House. Thanks to them all, and thanks to Pat on the desk. So for now, good night and God bless.
Community Matters was kindly sponsored by Connemara Credit Union Limited, incorporating Clifton, Tully Cross, Cashel and Carna branches. Connemara Credit Union is here to serve the people of the Connemara area. Main office, Clifton 095-21101. Tully Cross branch, 095-43973. Cashel branch, 095-31128.